Episode 31 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. So a few people have asked me what exactly it is that I do. Well, I run a makeup and skincare business through my phone with a team of amazing women from around the globe. What started as a little hobby to make me feel better about myself, because mascara can do that, can't it? It's actually become a great source of income for my family, but more importantly, joy, confidence, and friendships. If you'd like to know more, reach out to me. Just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook.
Hey, babe, did we forget something at the mall?
I don't think so.
Well, tell me all about it.
Yes, his God is all.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name's Mary Larson.
And I'm Blake, and, you know, I've got a feeling that we've got some bad news coming real soon.
Oh my gosh.
We got some bad news coming.
If it's not the next episode, I will be shocked.
Yeah. I would say it either has to be the next episode or two. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be one of those two.
Correct.
Because if you
end you can't your, let this stretch out much longer.
Yeah, it's like the whole Pavlov's gun thing. Like, you know, you can't introduce a gun in the first act without, you know, giving it back to you in the third act, and I feel like this is what's going to be happening very soon.
This is no longer a drill, okay? The fire is coming.
Oh, yeah.
We need to hold on.
We need to get ready for that.
Grab all the tissues. Grab all the tissues. My goodness gracious. Well, before we dive into needing tissues in this episode, this episode was a little different. It wasn't a tissue episode. This was not. This was just a nice little cozy episode, but there were some deep things that happened between a stepfather and a stepson. And it reminded me a lot about my difficulties when my father got married. So you've probably heard that my parents started to have some marital issues when I was a teenager. That's normal, right? And then they broke up when I was in college, which is normal. And then my dad remarried a wonderful woman. But in the process, my dad wanted to get an annulment. My dad and my mom were married in the Catholic Church. And they like hadn't been Catholic even since before I was born. But my stepmother is Catholic and she wanted to get married in a Catholic church. So my dad decided that he was going to get an annulment. And I called him up and I said, there's no way in heck you can go and get an annulment. You were married for 22 years to mom and you're going to have to dredge up all this terrible stuff about the two of you in front of like a group of your peers, like my neighbors, my friends' moms and dads. Like, please don't do this. And he said, no, that's not going to happen. Then he Googled it and he was like, oh, you're right. That does happen. That is what happens. This would be terrible. Mm. And my stepmother came and found me. Before my dad had Googled it, and he was very upset that I had challenged him, my stepmother found me at my ice cream shop job. She found me. She walked in and she said, excuse me, Mary. They weren't married yet. Mary, you know, you really upset your dad and you need to know that we are going to get married and you can't talk to him like that. And this is very important to us. So you need to be kinder to your dad. And I said, you need to know that you are not my mother. And because you are not my mother, you can't tell me what to do. My parents can barely tell me what to do. I'm a grown person, but you especially are not my mother. So please remember your place. Then my dad Googled it. He came to the ice cream store that night, apologized. And then I felt really bad for being sassy, Mary. And I apologized to my soon-to-be stepmother. But I totally Kevin'd that situation with my stepmom.
Know your place.
This is why
it's brutal.
This is why it's a really good thing that I live in a separate state from your family.
Oh, yes.
Because I don't hold my tongue very easily when I get upset. It's because I'm a Taurus.
You're full Mary Larson.
I don't get ruffled frequently. I'll tell you guys that. I get ruffled maybe once every other year. Right? Would you say that? Maybe even once every 3 years. Like really ruffled.
Yeah, I'd probably go closer to one every year.
Okay. Watch out. I haven't had one yet.
At least once a year. I get a good full Mary Larson experience.
You do? Oh, I thought I was talking about like other people.
Well, no. I mean like I'm the husband, so I kind of have to revolve around it.
You hear me as I contemplate how I'm going to lose my flipping mind.
Yes.
Okay. And thankfully you talked me down. See, this all happened before I was really asking you opinions.
Right.
You
just did this on your own.
Yeah. Just like I did a lot of things like that weren't very smart.
Like when you bought your car and we were engaged and you didn't even ask me.
And then I got into a car accident and got totaled the next day. Stunk.
We were engaged. She's just like, hey, look what I did. I bought a car. And I was like, you didn't want to talk to me about that?
Oops.
Just nope.
Nope. Whatevs.
Full Mary Larson.
That would have been me being like, I'm not your wife yet. I'm my own woman.
Know your place.
This is my paycheck. Know your place.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Man. All right. Well, let's get into the details of this episode.
The title was Clooney, based off of William's cat. And thank you very much. I called it. We did find out what happened to Clooney the cat.
Not only did you call it, but you've been desperately wanting it. Our spare time, you're like, I just want to know about Clooney.
I know, because they made a big deal out of this cat and all of a sudden he just disappears out of nowhere.
Poor Clooney.
I think it was an ugly cat too, man. William was right.
Yeah.
It was definitely an ironic name.
Yes.
The director was Zetna Fuentes. This is her first episode for This Is Us, and she has done actually a lot of good television, as a matter of fact. Some of her highlights include Jessica Jones, which is not that bad on Netflix, Ray Donovan on Showtime, Shameless, Scandal, and even Grey's Anatomy. And the writer was Rebecca Bernstetter. She is a producer of this show, and this is the only episode that she has done for This Is Us. So that is
not
that.
Too shabby.
What do you got for the lemonade rating, my darling?
All right. My lemonade rating is a 4.7. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I liked seeing William again. I liked seeing Kevin and Miggy go at it. And then both of them being like, okay, this isn't going to work. How are we going to find our new normal? I liked that a lot. So, you know, no like huge chuckles, no huge tears, but a good old solid episode because we need this. This is like when people in gymnastics, they do those jumpy things over those horses and stuff. Remember you were talking about all that equipment?
Yes.
And they have to have that that padding, a little springboard before they do
it. This is the springboard?
This is the springboard. This is that soft padding going up to the springboard with that last shot of the fire alarm, but this is the spring padding. You run, little short person, because all the gymnasts are short. They're all short. Why?
It's easier for them to spin and move than us tall folk.
I can't even do a bloody cartwheel still.
Neither can I.
I am 36 and I can't. You can't cartwheel either?
I can't do a cartwheel either.
I'm gonna have to take a video of my attempt. My like best attempt at cartwheeling.
I can't even like fake cartwheel. You know those cartwheels like people like kind of do? You know like Chris Farley, how he would cartwheel, but like it was more of like he just happened to roll on his hands and end up on his feet. It was like more of like a jump, really? I can't even do that.
I don't even know what I do. I log roll. You like those?
Log roll.
Don't you know that? Didn't you do that in like elementary gym?
No, I just picture you, know what that means? On the floor.
Yeah, you put your hands up, your feet out, and you just roll. That's my gymnastic move.
All right. For me, this one is a 4.6.
Okay.
We're back to the pony territory, in my opinion.
Okay. We need this pony. Okay, it's going to grow up.
I think you're right. This is definitely the deep breath before the little gymnast does her log roll. I feel like we're treading water here a little bit. It's almost like we're in stasis until Jack's death. I mean, do you remember Lost, my darling?
We have to go back, Kate.
When in season 3, they didn't know what to do. and they didn't know how long the story was going to go. They didn't know how they were going to end the story. So they were just like, okay, we're gonna stall this as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took their characters and they put them in jail cells. Spoiler alert. They put them in jail cells and they didn't go forward. They couldn't go back. They couldn't go forward. Their plots just didn't go anywhere.
You are in timeout.
They just stayed in one spot. So look at this episode. Note that Kevin is at his mom's, just chilling out at his mom's. Randall is stuck in Williams looking for a possible lover of Williams. Mm-hmm. Kate is at a dress shop. Even in the flashbacks, they're just at a mall. They're just doing things because they can't have them too much, do too much.
Correct.
They know that they have to get to Jack's death and they have so many episodes to fill.
Yes.
So this to me is total filler. But the thing that makes it good, I think, is the interaction between Miguel and Kevin. So mm-hmm. What do you got for your good, bad, great, my darling?
My GBG, my good, is Madison taking Kate wedding dress shopping. Now, I have been on the hate train for Madison, then Madison, of course, and Kate gets the axe and the pregnancy is revealed. All these things happen. I still find Madison a completely annoying character.
Mm-hmm.
But in this episode, I realized Kate has no friends.
You're right. She doesn't have any friends.
Nobody really has friends. Mm-hmm. Really. Okay. Kevin has fake friends. Randall has white neighbors. And Kate has no friends.
Right.
And so, how amazing. Because think about it. Had Kate had any girlfriends, they would have already taken her dress shopping. That's what your girlfriends do when you get engaged. They say, let's go put on hysterical dresses. Let's go drink champagne. Mm-hmm. Let's just go be silly and girly. And nobody has done that because Kate doesn't have any friends.
I feel like that's a mom. Don't moms do that? Like wedding dress shopping?
If you have a good relationship with your mom.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I will not dare tread on the mother-daughter dynamic.
It is a sticky one. But I just loved this because even though she annoys me, I am thankful for the female companionship for this very girly special event. And she made it special.
Sure.
She made it special for Kate. So I truly appreciated that. My bat, yeah.
Fun trivia fact.
Yeah.
The girl who plays Madison is Dan Fogelman's wife. That is his wife.
Wow, look at that.
Throw that in
interesting.
There.
The bad. Oh my God. Well, in addition to the smoke alarm shot, I thought when they said, did we forget something? I'm really worried they forgot Randall at the mall.
Randall!
Because he was busy playing with his eight ball. And like, you didn't see any interactions with Randall coming home.
Yep.
So I'm still a little nervous. Did they also forget
Randall's just chilling
Randall?
At the mall still. They went full Home Alone on him.
Yeah, yeah. Did we forget something? Randall! My great was Randall's hunt for his dad's lover. I really enjoyed
it.
I know you were going to be shocked about this one. I really enjoyed it. I haven't seen... It was a fun puzzle. I like the escape room things that are like really big nowadays. And I felt like this was an escape room. This was a little puzzle. I liked that it had a musical twist to it. It got to show us once again William's beautiful brilliance with his poetry, with his art, mm-hmm. With meeting all these people who really loved William. Because let's be real, we all love William. We
yes.
all love him, whether it's Ghost William, Old William, Young William, and even hearing about William through the neighbors' perspectives, I loved it. So that
wow.
is my great. How about you?
For me, the good is the opposites that are within this episode. And I feel like in life, I'm going to get big here, big capital L, life. Life.
You?
Yeah.
You're doing that?
opposites drive capital L life, right? In this episode, I feel like it does a great job in showing that. I mean, between Kevin's relatively warm relationship with his dad and then the cool and antagonistic relationship with Miguel, Randall loses Deja in the current timeline, but finds purpose in his teenage life with his girlfriend and then owning up to his dream of finally buying William's old building after searching for jobs and nothing mm-hmm. getting his creative juices going. And then we even have Kate with a cold relationship with her mother, but coming to the rescue of Madison, even though Madison, we all feel like, is an annoying little character. But she even finds opposites, Kate, within herself, getting down to a size 7, but hating herself for not being a size 5. It's something that she does to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those opposites that what drive people, that's what drives capital L life. And I feel like that is what this episode really highlighted.
Yep.
For me, the bad was Madison.
Oh my God, look at that. And that was my good.
She had that stage 5 clinger eyes.
Totally.
That reminded me of that meme, you know, of like the crazy like stage 5 clinger girl being like, "Hi, we just met. I'm pregnant. You're mine forever." You know, like, you know that girl?
Is that who I am?
No, you're not like that. No, no, no.
Because
no,
I'm
no.
hungry for friendships.
No, you're just like, "Hi, my name's Mary Larson. Here's my credit card, and here's my social security number, and here's my birth certificate. We're best friends now.
And now you know everything about me because I podcast and I hang it all out." Oops.
And I just felt like she was like, you're my new best friend. And I'm never, ever, 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 never, ever going to let you go. Like, just
I mean, I definitely
shivers up my spine.
Tell my girlfriends when I like go on a date with them, finally, like going to have the courage to be like, "Hey, do you want to go out and have like dinner? And like, do you want to go like get coffee?" I like tell them like, "I was nervous to ask you out on a friend date."
When did you turn into a valley girl? Do you like want to go get coffee?
I don't know. I don't really know.
And for me, the great was, as awkward as it was, mm-hmm. was Kevin's interaction with Miguel and how Miguel kind of gave it back to him a little bit. It was another great, honest conversation between two guys that would have otherwise not really have spoken to each other. And you get a sense of how they both felt about the situation. Kevin, you understandably are on his side because he's one of the main characters, and you feel like, I'm following Kevin. I'm all in on Kevin now. Yep. Miggy, what the hell, bro? Like, Miggy. What are you doing food shopping? But then you hear Miguel's side of the whole thing, and you realize he's there, as he says, to just take care and protect his wife from her son.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
How can you sleep on that?
Right.
You can't, right?
Right.
And when you hear that, I finally understand it. So I really, really, really liked that interaction between the two of them. So tell me a little bit more, though, my darling, about your love of the William excursion and Randall, and because I remember when we watched it.
I was about to go down another line quickly for
please go.
I'm just doing a little shout out for all of you who do have step parents mm-hmm. and you got like this little burr up your butt like I did, like mm-hmm. Kevin does, that if your step parent has a good heart mm-hmm. and is a good, honest companion to your parent,
yes,
we need to give them a break.
And I think you've discovered that with your stepmother.
I have.
You definitely
I'm now
have.
Nice to her.
And with a lot of coaching from me, luckily. And I think a lot of self-reflection about you and your dad and his relationship with...
But I just also wanted to like let anybody know that if you're going through it, especially as an adult, it can be hard.
Give them
a
break.
But if they are kind, I'm saying this on purpose, if they are kind... Okay. If they are loving, if they are warm, if they are good for your parent, give them a break. If they are total pieces of poop.
If they're garbage. Put them out in the street.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Shout out to Teddy. Okay. So you're about to ask me about Randall.
Well, you know what? Let's go down this.
The Miggy route?
The Miggy route here. Okay.
I like that he's never been called Miggy ever since. And so I feel really bad that we continue this name.
Yeah, I'm still going with it.
I know,
we've owned
too,
it.
Me too.
We're on it now. I'm all in on Miggy. I really like this because we've been talking about season 2 being Rebecca's story. Mm-hmm. And this whole interaction is in service of Rebecca. And the whole thing with Rebecca and Miguel is to show that she is, in fact, happy. Mm-hmm. With Miguel. Mm-hmm. It's not just a thing of convenience. It's not something that she just ran into the arms of Miguel, hoping that he would take care of her. And it doesn't mean that she doesn't love Jack. It doesn't mean that she doesn't miss him. In fact, she even still wears the necklace that he gave to her the day that he said he was going to recover from being an alcoholic, the one with the moon.
Yep.
But
cool was that?
It's fantastic
that?
When they're comparing both the necklace
yes.
ideas. You know,
like you're trying to get yours back, and I'm trying to find a way to take mine off,
and I can't seem to do it. I thought that was great.
Yes,
you know, and I think as viewers, it's an interesting aspect to watch Rebecca and Miguel because we're so used to the young, fiery, passionate, hot love of Jack and Rebecca. But even Rebecca says it too. It's not loud. It's not crazy or passionate as it was with Jack, but it's quiet. It's mm-hmm. mature. Mm-hmm. It's older. Just a good fit for both of them. Yeah, tiny houses. That's what it is.
You know what's funny is I watched this though and I was like, oh my God, that is Blake and us now. Me now. Like when we were recording, we watched Meerkat Manor together, which is pretty much like the nerdier equivalent of tiny houses.
Yes, that's exactly
what it is. Meerkat Manor, rest in peace, Flower. Rest in peace.
Oh,
she was the mother of them all.
Oh, I know. There are some serious, deep reference nerds
ever watchful
out there,
Mitch.
That understand what you're talking about right now. But if you don't, go to YouTube and watch Meerkat Manor.
But nonetheless, I watched this and it was a genuine love. And to know that they've gone through this together, I'm excited to see more of the courtship between Miguel and Rebecca.
I'll even tell you this. Them watching the tiny houses or whatever the heck it was, it actually... it gave me a real sense of what their relationship is about.
Agreed.
You know, like it that's something real.
Yes.
I can put my hands on that and say, okay, I get it.
They share laughter. Mm-hmm. They are obviously like physically comfortable with one another and they're just good companions.
Right.
He's always there with her. I mean, he even tells Kevin, I'm here to protect her from you.
Right.
But he's there all the time. It's annoying, mm-hmm. but he's there for her.
Even the reconciliation part between Kevin and Miggy, I felt was exquisite.
Yes.
And this is, I think, like I said, what kind of brings it up to a 4.6 for me and not getting any lower. Because Miguel's reaction to Kevin's question of, did you love my mother when she was with my dad? His reaction to being like, that wasn't even a thought. It was, that was... ridiculous to even think mm-hmm. of. It was Rebecca and Jack. They were one. And having an intercut between, you know,
the
present timeline and the wedding and everything, it was really special.
It was.
And this is going to sound really sappy and trite, but it really reminded me of you and I and how I feel like we're a team, we're a partnership, we are one. And I really feel like that's a goal, hashtag relationship goals for any marriage, right? But I felt like, wow, man, I kind of get that too. I kind of get it. So the whole thing with Kevin and Miguel, I really appreciate
it. I'm on board,
this,
man. It's very real. And
choo-choo.
Once again, this show uh-huh. delves into these types of relationships and situations that are so real that if it's not happening to you, it's probably happened to someone that you know.
Sure. All right. So let's talk about Randall. And because I remember when we were watching, when William walked by Randall in the hallway, you were like, whoa, wait, what? Like, that's weird.
Yes.
So, all right. So you said you loved it. Get into that. Dig into that a little bit more for me. Why did you love it so much?
Well, part of me is really nervous for Randall and Beth, their relationship as a whole, particularly Randall, but also for Beth's sanity. And then as a relationship, it's just not really going down the route that we all would want for the Beth and Randall relationship to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Randall got really excited about fostering. Well, first off, having a baby.
Yes.
You know, back in with that whole time. Then he got really excited about fostering. And then he got really excited about fostering again. And he got really excited about getting to know his dad. And I know it sounds silly, but I love how excited Randall gets.
That's a Mary Larson thing, too.
Right?
Just all excited.
Like, he jumps all in.
Feet first.
He does not doubt.
He belly flops.
Yes. And they are like really, from what I understood from his youth, he didn't used to belly flop. He used to check everything out. And I feel like ever since he met his dad and his dad caught him off guard, Randall has been incredibly erratic and belly flopping in to these completely abnormal adventures that he doesn't fully see the way through. Granted, he researched a lot. He read all the blogs about fostering, but still, I feel like the previous Randall would have researched for like 3 years.
Sure.
You know? And when it came to him searching at the apartment, how it honestly took over his mind so much that he even left a job interview to answer a phone call.
Right.
About this puzzle. It just, I'm not saying that was the best move, but the fact that he got to go around and speak to the neighbors, that's what I loved most about it. And
right.
then the ending of it, finding out that
it was Billie Holiday.
Yes. Yes.
I find that sweet that mm-hmm. it was Billie Holiday. You know, obviously misdirection. It's leading you down a path thinking that it's going to go one way. And then it's, obviously it's about a mural. You know, like I think that's a sweet bit of writing.
Well, and also, I mean, I know that Randall's dead. I know that Randall's dead. William's dead. And I know that, you know, maybe we'll get more of his storyline here or there, but maybe not. I don't know
if there's much more to tell about William.
That's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, I don't really know too awfully much more. But this was just beautiful because I feel like William was frequently lonely, you know, after his lover died, after his mother died.
Sure.
After he had to abandon his son. And to just know that that was the woman who was always... You know, he was always looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just added this beautiful, sad aspect that I didn't think we could add any more to William, and we did.
Right. I'll co-sign on that. It's a little wrinkle, if you will, into the William story. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's a maze. I mean, it's a maze to kill time, in my opinion. Like, do we need to know this about William? No.
Yeah, and see, that's where I think I get a little frustrated with it, because it's like, I appreciate the wrinkle, but what are we doing here? Even the stuff with Randall about wanting to buy the house and all that stuff.
But that's what I think the plot line part is about, is about how distracted Randall is.
Okay.
That's where, I mean, I thought it was a beautiful, fun time to go into the view of the neighbors, but I think the bigger storyline, just like we saw Kevin mm-hmm. hit the bottom, we've seen Kate hit the bottom, we have yet to see, I mean, we saw Randall hit the bottom when his dad died, mm-hmm. but we have yet to see Randall, like, lose it for a while longer.
Right.
So this, I think, is the prolonged Randall is morphing into something else. He is distracted. He is not his usual self. Granted, though, he's smiling a lot.
He seems happy.
Seems like a jolly guy.
So Kate and Madison, I want to dig into that a little bit more, too.
I actually
quite felt like the stuff with Madison and Kate was a little contrived, but then we got hit with the bulimia thing.
Yep.
And that made sense to me. And why Madison is there at that group. It always felt like Madison was there in terms of the story itself. Madison was there for the sake of being there. She was the person that's like, oh, come on, dude. But now that you know she had this problem before and she has it now and she finds herself doing it, like when she tells Kate to just find your own way home, I was like, oh, man, it was vicious. But I appreciate now where this friendship could go.
Correct.
Because they're both battling stuff that...
They're both battling serious illnesses.
Yes, even though she has stage 5 clinger illness. That's just my quick opinion on that one.
It's okay. I loved when she said, maybe we should start a podcast.
Oh my God, again, where the art of television meets the art of life and a podcast.
That fourth wall.
The fourth wall. I feel like Deadpool's all over this place. Another thing that I really appreciated about this episode, too, was actually the interaction between teenage Kevin and Jack. And
I loved the teenage interaction with them, too.
You know, Jack and Kevin are having their ups and downs, and they're just two similar guys butting heads over similar things, right?
Well, and Kevin's dreams have just... broken.
Yeah, he's broken. He can't get a suit, can't go to the ball with Sophie. She's getting into NYU and he's going to some bumshoe community college. You know, I get it all and I understand. But here's the thing. When Kevin is with Jack and they're at the mall and they're trying on the suits and everything, you know, there are certain things that you're supposed to pass down as a man. And, you know, this is coming from, you know, from my dad to me to my son. And these are things that I'm seeing in life now. You know, there are certain things you have to pass down as a man. You're supposed to teach your son specific things about how to be a man, how to act and react and how to look and how to dress. And there are certain tenets of certain things that you need to teach them. And one of them is how a suit fits. Mm-hmm. What do you do to tell if the suit is too tight?
I had
tight?
No idea.
And you know, you put your hand in the breast and you make sure that it's not too tight. And just watching those
always
two,
sometimes never.
And the buttons, the top buttons. One that is the top one's always the middle one. It's sometimes on the top, always in the middle, and never on the bottom.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah. Oh
Why
yeah.
Why even have a bottom button if it's never?
It's a fashion thing. I don't know.
I love the differences of male fashion versus female fashion. Just leave the last button unbuttoned, and you're on fleek.
I know I'm not doing it justice. And I wish I had the words to express how important those things are. And to watch it on television as something as small as teaching your son how to wear a suit and what it's supposed to feel like is, it's just very intimate. It's very mm-hmm. intimate. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that scene. My darling.
That scene, though, hold up.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That suit.
Oh, is this going to be
a funeral suit.
Oh, this is your hot take.
What do you mean?
This is your hot take.
I stink at these.
Oh, my God. Oh.
That's my hot take, guys. Oh. That's my hot take.
Come on now.
I don't know. Fine. Kevin won't go to the dance in that suit. He'll wear it to his dad's funeral.
Mary, don't you know, we've already done 31 of these bad boys. How do you not know that the structure might?
I don't know.
All right, final thoughts. Anything you got?
Clooney.
Yeah?
Clooney was the title of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Clooney was able to find a new home and mm-hmm. someone to love him, mm-hmm. even though he was down on his luck, mm-hmm. looking like a big old hot mess. Rebecca got a new love as well.
Oh, and for me, Randall...
She didn't look like a hot mess.
No, she didn't. She never looks like a hot mess. For me, my final thought for the past number of times, has gone back to Randall. I thought Randall making the magic eight ball... they actually did this twice. This mystery element of this episode, they showed Randall fiddling with this black object, pouring the water into it and building it, and you knew that it was a magic eight ball.
Yeah,
you didn't necessarily know why he was doing it, but it was like this mystery element. And they even did the same thing with Kate when she has the number 7 on her forearm,
mm-hmm.
and she turns around and she like hides it from her mom.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, okay, what the hell is that about? And they finally deliver on both of those things toward the end of the episode. But Randall making a magic eight ball for his girlfriend to convince her to date him.
So sweet.
Is so spectacular. And it's so nerdy. It's Randall to the max.
You know, I'm glad he did that, right? Because the diorama he did with his daughters was completely a mess. First and foremost, it looks like a parent did it. Secondly, polar bears and penguins.
Not on the same island.
They don't live together.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Randall, who works with climate
and weather,
should know better.
He should totally know better.
He should
better
know better.
That.
So as he's putting those penguins and saying it looks perfect, I was like, Randall, where's your brain? Where's your brain?
Where's your brain, bro?
I'm glad he did the eight ball and had his brain screwed on tight then.
Puzzle Watch 2018, we see Randall finally get the girlfriend that he had in the first episode of season 2. So we know something is coming very soon. Kevin has his cast on, and we see that the smoke detector does not have batteries.
Mm.
So that is the Puzzle Watch 2018. Here is my hot take of the week. I really feel like we're starting to come down to a close with Jack here.
Yep.
Between the numbers 1 and 3, and then the whole scene with him buying a suit with Kevin, and then even his interactions with Miguel at the mall when Miguel's saying, hey, some guys just need to wallow. There's change coming with Jack, in my opinion, and it's coming very soon. And I think that the next time we see the 90s flashback, which my gut tells me, as we said in the beginning of this episode, is going to be very soon, this will be the final flashback to the time period with Jack alive.
Ugh.
I feel like that's going to be... It's coming. It has to come soon. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You cannot have...
Totes agree.
An empty... Knowing that the house burned down, you cannot have an empty batteried smoke detector and not deliver on it. So that is my hot take of the week. Are you ready to close out this bad boy, my darling?
I am.
All right, let's do it.
Listen, guys, I'm going to go restock on some tissues because I'm getting really nervous. Really, really nervous about what's about to happen. And most of you listening have already watched the show. You already know what happens. But together, later this month in September, we're going to be able to watch the show together live. And to get more ears and to get more participation and juice going inside this lemonade-filled show, it would be great if you could let other people know. Just share on your Facebook wall, your Instagram stories, Twitter, and let people know about this podcast because we'd love to touch more people. I want to give a huge shout out to NICUNurse03. Said, like, coming home, listening to Mary and Blake talk about This Is Us is a refreshing add-on to this great show. They bring a very personal touch to the podcast by talking about their own joys and sorrows while keeping the tone upbeat. I'm going past the music, guys. It's okay. It's okay. She especially likes the technical insight. You can play some more.
I'm in the middle of doing that right now.
Yay. Likes the technical insight that we give and how the show is written. That means you, Blake. Acted and directed. Gives a whole new dimension to watching TV. Listening to Mary and Blake is like sitting with two of your best buds at the corner pub, drinking a beer and talking about the show.
Wow.
Keep them coming. We, of course, know who this is. We love you, Denise. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Guys, if you haven't taken the time to write us a review yet, we would love for you to do that on iTunes. Don't just give it the stars. Do the written part if you can.
And also, check us out on maryandblake.com. You can check out this podcast at maryandblake.com/thisisus2. And if you ever feel like you feel the need to email us or whatever, just email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com and look for us at Mary and Blake on Facebook.
Yay!
That way you can get all of your thoughts to us, and we would appreciate it.
For now, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us, too.
With double the music.